Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening or watching the show. And the iHeartRadio app, Fox Sports Radio, Fox Sports One. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd, live from Los Angeles. Hope you had the very merriest of Christmas, or you celebrate Hanukkah. Hope that's going well for you. Of course, we wish you nothing but the happiest of New Year's. We'll get to the Dallas Cowboys and why stats do, in fact, lie. Chris Haynes is going to join us, NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. Get his take on last night's unbelievable game in Los Angeles between the Lakers and the Clippers. The Rockets in postseason form already, right? Losing to the Warriors. Things we can predict. The real Joel Embiid stepped up yesterday. But forget about all that. Let's get to the nuts and bolts of it. We live in this really weird polarizing era in which you're either all in or all out. I've sat on this very chair before, at this very desk, and gone through my thoughts on LeBron versus Michael Jordan, right, in terms of all-time greats. And if you don't, to the LeBron fan, bow to him and say he's the greatest you've ever seen, somehow you're defaming LeBron James as a bad basketball player or massively overrated or you're a hater. When the truth is, if there are 450 NBA players, and for the better part of his 17-plus year career, he's been one of the top 5 to 10 players in the NBA for that long period of time, including several years in which he was the best player in the NBA, you're doing anything but defaming LeBron James. And the hundreds of thousands of NBA players in the history of the game, if he's in the conversation of being the best, that's actually quite respectful. But I've seen enough to tell you that what we're all seeing last night does not all fall on his shoulders. It doesn't. I'm not putting the blame solely on LeBron James. They had a 15-point lead, and then, of course, the Clippers made a run, and then LeBron goes on a run to start the fourth quarter and gives them space. They have a 6-point lead or 7-point lead with 6 minutes to go. They're at home, and it's not just home because they both share the arena. Like, that was a Lakers home game. It's almost always a Lakers home game when the Lakers play in Staples, even when they play in the Clippers home games. Look, they're not getting anything out of Avery Bradley. I don't understand why Rondo plays so much. I think Anthony Davis showed his flaws as being a great player. They didn't double-team Anthony Davis. They didn't make him pass the basketball. Montrezl Harrell is not seen as a great defender, and he's shooting fadeaway jump shots instead of attacking the rim. The Clippers won the game because they got to the free throw line, and when they missed jump shots, they got offensive rebounds. Whereas LeBron and the rest of the Lakers just settled for far too many jump shots. That's why they lost the game. So I'm not putting the loss on LeBron. But I will tell you that if you didn't have the name on the back of the jersey and you didn't know that that was LeBron, who some people consider the greatest player of all time, and you didn't know it was Kawhi Leonard, who's the last year's finals MVP, if you just said, hey, I want you to watch this game and tell me who the best player on the court is, anybody would have said number two in the white jersey. If you go back to last Thursday night when they played in Milwaukee, and look, to people who said that Giannis has now figured it out, he's a great shooter. Now he can shoot. Now he can do it all. Like, he was 0 of 7 yesterday. He showed his flaws. But against Giannis and the Bucks, he was at best the second and really the third best player on that floor. LeBron James has a lot of tread worn off those tires. And yeah, he's probably dealing with a groin injury. I'm not saying that he's not banged up. But you can't go load management on me when LeBron didn't play the previous game for the Lakers in an effort to rest up for Christmas Day. He wasn't the best player on the floor. In the last two games combined, made for TV, primetime, real NBA playoff caliber games, shoots 39%, 26% from three-point range, 22 points a game, 6 turnovers. And then it should be pointed out he continues to struggle to make end-of-game free throws. Is that the reason they lost? Nope. Nope. He makes that free throw late. They're still down 2. It's not the reason that they lost. But LeBron James is not the same guy at 34 years old. Is it because he's in L.A.? I don't know. Maybe. Right? Traffic to and from Brentwood does seem to back you up. And so maybe you're not spending as much time in El Segundo as in the gym. The stronger likelihood is he's 34 years old. Can't get his body to do what it used to be able to do. There's some Tom Brady to it. Obviously, the difference with Tom Brady is Brady can fake it because he doesn't have to play defense. He doesn't have to match up with the athleticism of others. Whereas when you're in the NBA, you're out there on an island. There's also, if you look back when the Ravens won their last Super Bowl, here's a huge difference. Okay? When the Ravens won their last Super Bowl, remember the Niners made a big comeback in the second half? How'd they do it? They attacked Ray Lewis. Couldn't play anymore. Now, LeBron's not there. Okay? He's not, I can't play anymore. But instead of what the game plan always used to be against the Ravens, which is go anywhere in which Ray Lewis is not. What's changed in the NBA? You're not avoiding LeBron James at the defensive end. And you're not all that scared of him at the offensive end. Right? If you have the number of bodies that you can throw at him, to just put a body in front of him. He won't get a step on you. He'll shoot a jump shot. And there are nights in which, like last night, when he's not making them. What's helped LeBron become the superstar that he is not just the body that he has, the downhill game in which he plays, but also the trend in the NBA, which is you've taken power forwards are no longer going to exist. They don't really exist. LeBron James is the build of an old power forward, yet he has the game of, you know, a new age Magic Johnson. So you take a power forward out of the game, and then you take a center, and many of these centers are now shooting threes, and you open up the lane. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the defense can no longer hand-check you and keep you from driving downhill. All of these have helped him get to the rim. Now when he loses some of that step and he can't get to the rim, in addition to which he doesn't have the necessary volume of shooters around him, LeBron does not look Jason Kidd, end of his career, can't make a layup, washed up. But if you're operating under the assumption that LeBron James is still the best basketball player on earth, you obviously did not watch last night's game. And you obviously did not watch last Thursday's game. It doesn't mean that he's a terrible player. It doesn't mean that he's not a top 10 player in the NBA. It doesn't mean that he's not the Lakers MVP. He's still the Lakers' most valuable player. Between his intelligence at both ends, his passing ability, his scoring ability, his size and versatility, his leadership, look, the Lakers have had a great run here in the first half of the season. But if you hadn't watched basketball all year, or you didn't know anything about LeBron versus Kawhi, and just said, hey, I want you to watch this game, you tell me who the best player is, you would have said number 2 in the white jersey. Not number 23 in the gold jersey. That happens. It does happen. We try and adjust on dated information. And if your information is that LeBron is the best ever, and that never changes, well, then you're not dealing with reality. Look, this is what happened in the NBA Finals going back 2 and 3 years ago. I get it. Game 1, 2 years ago, he's unbelievable, 51 points. J.R. Smith doesn't know time and score and screws it up. But throughout the length of that series, as well as the series before, and the series before is even more telling because you can't make the argument about LeBron not having a supporting cast. He had Kevin Love. He had Kyrie Irving. He had Tristan Thompson. He had the whole slew of guys. But he was matched up with Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant was the better player in the second half of all the important games. And the Warriors won, and he was the MVP. Kevin Durant was. Kevin Durant, if you didn't know who LeBron was, you didn't know who Kevin Durant was, you'd say, I think Kevin Durant's actually the better player in these particular games. And big games do matter. Like, look, I don't care about we're going to talk about the Cowboys in a second. It don't really matter the rest of the Cowboys season. Make a determination based upon how good Dak Prescott is on the road against a depleted Philadelphia Eagles team, against a guy who was selected ahead of him and got a bigger contract than him. You want to tell me that he's better than Carson Wentz? He had better wide receivers, a better running back, a better offensive line. And he couldn't win the game. He couldn't score points. With the play calling, yeah, this is the same thing. Like last night, should the Lakers have run more offense late, especially in the last possession? Sure. Is there, right? These are all explanations. These are all explanations. It's fine. It's fine to say that Kellen Moore is inexperienced as an offensive coordinator. It's fine to say that Jason Garrett's not a great head coach. Okay. But if you watch the game, you'd say Dak Prescott or Carson Wentz, who's better? And then you factor in that Carson Wentz has got practice squad guys at wide receiver, and Dak Prescott has what we were told were stars at wide receiver and a star at running back. Big games matter. They help determine what's what, who's who. Last night was as big an NBA game as we've had in a long time. Does it mean the Clippers are going to absolutely win Game 7 of the NBA Finals? No. Does it mean they'll win the Western Conference Finals? It does not. But it gives us a little, hey, Alex Caruso, not ready for that level yet. Right? Huh? Lakers still trying to figure it out. Clippers working together, but really won that game on toughness, rebounding, defensive intensity, tenacity. It wasn't always pretty, and maybe that's the way they always have to win, or maybe that's the way in which they're winning now. Like, all of these are good explanations. But the facts remain that you just watched last night. It's okay. This is like having a discussion with your significant other when she's thinking about having a nip or a tuck or something lifted up. Like, hey, those lines in your forehead, that's okay. That makes you who you are. That's experience. That's ups, that's downs, that's life. If LeBron can win an NBA championship, that actually makes me think even more of him. He still won't be the best player on earth. He just find a way. Lift up other people. Add new pieces. Add an Andre Iguodala. Add somebody else who can come get them buckets late, because LeBron cannot do that anymore. That's not who he is at this stage in his career. And if you don't believe me, watch the big games. It's all you need to know. Playoff basketball, different than the rest. Big game NBA Cologne night basketball. Paolo Cologne is a special night. Last night was a special night, and it showed that Kawhi Leonard was the best player on the floor. If you don't think there's a difference between last night's game and the other games, why did both Kawhi and LeBron sit leading up to it? Because they knew. Everybody knew. Games matter. It's a playoff intensity. And you find out who belongs on the court. You find out who does not. But you also find out who the better man is. And the snapshot in time of December 25th, 2019, 2 in the white jersey, was better than 23 in the yellow jersey. Doesn't mean that he's been better for the last 17 years. It does mean that last night he was. And this appears to be a trend.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I saw this in Pro Football Focus. The Cowboys' strong offense, easy schedule, derailed by bad luck. The general point of the article, you can read it online, is that, look, in terms of yards per play and offense and defense, strength of schedule, overall efficiency, the Cowboys should have won at least 10 games. How in the hell are they 7-8? Right? How are they 7-8? Sounds actually like Jerry Jones wrote it. Isn't it? How are we 7-8? Don't really know. Don't really understand. This is one of those, you run the numbers and it works. You run the numbers and it works. You run the numbers and it works. And then you put it into play, and it doesn't work. Doesn't work. Look, a lot of things are like this. I mean, in many ways, the idea of socialism, for example, should work. Right? We should all get up and go do our job and not have to worry about healthcare, schools, and how much you make. And we just go and do our thing. Right? Just go do your thing every day. Get up, focus. Whatever my job is, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to come home, and we're all the same. That sounds like a great idea. What gets in the way? Human nature. I'm working harder than that person. I should be more valuable than that. But I bring more to the table. Other businesses want to hire me. I put myself in the market. I should be worth more. Somebody's willing to pay more. Correct? Right? Human nature and leadership, right? Because even in pure socialist societies, there's leadership and leaders see themselves as above everybody else. Leadership, human nature, it derails the great socialism experiment, right? I mean, and capitalism, pure capitalism should work. What's the problem with capitalism? Leadership, human nature, right? Cutting corners. And oh yeah, by the way, what if you can make something for far less money in a foreign land? Forget about how you treat them, how you pay them, whatever. It's a bottom line business in capitalism. Every business is a bottom line business. In its purest forms, both of these should work on paper, in an algorithm. But the reality is that leadership and human nature, chemistry, if you will, gets in the way. That's the problem with the Dallas Cowboys. Has a kicking game been an abject disaster? Sure. And in all honesty, the ease of their schedule, especially early on, that was fool's gold. You know, yeah, you dominated the Redskins. They suck. You dominated the Dolphins. They're atrocious. Congratulations. He got the Giants twice. Okay, everybody got the Giants. You know, the Giants started a rookie quarterback against you. Go through the count. Like, the hard part about the NFL this year is usually by about this time of year, we have teams that have packed it in, right? You get to 15, 16, week 17. This year, we had teams that were packing it in that were stinking purposefully or based upon their roster in week one. So it's really hard to tell, to compare those stats. Like, you cannot compare Cowboys versus Dolphins, Cowboys versus Redskins versus Cowboys versus Eagles on the road week 16. Can you? It's like a different sport. So it does create a little bit of a false equivalency. You know, it does create fool's gold. But if you want to know why, when you run it in a computer 100 times over, the Cowboys come up with 10, 11, or 12 wins, and the reality is 7 wins, what's the proper answer? Leadership? Chemistry? Is it bad luck? What is luck? Right? What's the definition? The street definition of luck is where what timing and preparation meet. Right? They weren't properly prepared. And yeah, I guess their timing was off. Having an owner who calls into question every decision a coach makes while not giving the coach an extension before the season creates unrest and a lack of quality leadership. Making coaching changes with the position coaches and the offensive coordinator, including putting somebody in charge of calling the offensive plays who's never done it before, is ill-timed preparation in this important a year. Look, did a lot of things go their way? Sure. Dak's been healthy the whole year. Zeke's been healthy since he's been back. Amari's been healthy the whole year. You know, for the most part, obviously, Van Der Esch has not, but for the most part, they've been a pretty healthy football team. That luck has actually been good. The only luck that's bad is we create this luck. They should be better. They have all these yards. They dominate time of possession. That's not how you decide football games. Can you make a play on third down? Can you make a play in the red zone? Special teams, kicking game, coaching, chemistry, ownership, leadership, right? Don't give me this bad luck stuff. Bad luck is what's happened to the Eagles. Bad luck happened to the Seahawks. The Seahawks lost C.J. Procise. They lost Rashad Penny, Chris Carson. All for the year, all within the last 2 weeks. You want to give me bad luck? I'll give you bad luck. Seahawks, they play great all year. They stick around. Yeah, they lost at home to the Ravens. They lost at home to the Saints. But with a roster that's still kind of trying to figure it out, they were in line for the number one seed in the NFC. Now they went and dusted off Marshawn Lynch out of retirement, who hadn't carried a football in a year and a half since he caught the BART back from the Oakland Raiders game. That's bad luck. It's not bad luck. This is where stat guy will never be true sport guy. Okay, because sports defy statistical logic. Stats give you a little sense. But if a team statistically or based upon an algorithm should win more and doesn't, that's coaching, that's chemistry, that's leadership, that's human nature. That's what's gone wrong with the Cowboys.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Speaking of the end of the football season, Tom Brady and the Patriots did it again. For the 11th consecutive time, the Patriots won the AFC East. 11th consecutive. That is crazy. Utter and sheer domination. This was Tom Brady talking about his NFL future.
I think I've said for a long time my tune hasn't changed. So I hope to continue playing. I've had long-term goals. I've had short-term goals. And, again, football is a contact sport. So you never know when your last game is going to be, and you should count your blessings every time you walk off the field healthy.
I hate to interrupt here, but I'm going to. Football is a collision sport, not a contact sport. Basketball is a contact sport. You make contact with other guys. Football is a collision sport. A little bit more dangerous, just slightly more dangerous, right? I say this all the time about the concussion protocol in basketball. No offense, but there are no basketball players who struggle to find where they parked their car or their keys because they have debilitating, you know, brain issues because of, you know, past concussions in basketball. It just doesn't. It's a violently dangerous sport. And he's been able, with the exception of the 1 year in which somebody rolled up on his leg, been able to not sustain a major injury. It's remarkable. But a blind man can see that he's not the same. And a smart man would have told him, hey, dude, you won the Super Bowl last year. You should have walked then. Right? All the signs are there. Like, all the signs. I don't know what Tom Brady's going to do. I think there's a chance that Tom Brady doesn't know what Tom Brady's going to do. Legit. Right? Probably, I'll think about that. When I think about that, I'll have a conversation with Giselle. I have a conversation with my money guy, with my TV guy, with my football. Like, I'll have my dad. We'll have those conversations then. I haven't decided. But if there are signs, remember when LeBron left Miami for Cleveland? Remember his wife had, all of a sudden there was cars on like not a flatbed, but one of those like double-decker car transporters like in front of his house in Miami. And you're like, wait, there's, and then there was like a plane. And there's all these other signs that, wait, maybe they're going back to Cleveland. You're like, nah, his contract's up. They can't franchise him. Whatever the reality is of the offense, like, because the reality is they've tried to put wide receivers around him. Right? They may have missed on N'Keal Harry, might not be good enough. A lot of people in Boston don't think he's got it. They may have missed there. Okay? They may have missed on replacements for Rob Gronkowski. They tried to get Antonio Brown. They couldn't make that work. Josh Gordon, they couldn't keep him in line to make that work. You know, I mean, like, look, if you look back, they made a trade for Mohamed Sanu. Probably should have traded for Emmanuel Sanders. I don't know if the Broncos would have done an inner AFC deal. I don't know. But I do know that Emmanuel Sanders has been far more effective since he was traded to San Francisco than Mohamed Sanu has been since he was traded to the Patriots. Mohamed Sanu looks like Atlanta got over on him. Oh, no, he's fine. He's good. You want him? Oh, sure. Yeah, no, he's good. He's ready to go. Yeah, no. Not even close. But it's not for lack of trying, right? They went out and added a wide receiver, drafted one in the first round, got Antonio Brown as well. Like, those are, they put some resources towards it. But end of the day, Brady couldn't possibly be happy with the supporting cast, which, of course, only exasperates his own limitations at this stage in his career. Like, look, I'm not saying he's Peyton Manning. People forget Peyton Manning, it wasn't just bad in the Super Bowl, it was bad all year. 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Brock Osweiler replaced him. Like, Brock Osweiler instead of Peyton's hurt. He was terrible. And they recharged him and got him just back, just upright enough so that he could take him to a Super Bowl, and the defense and special teams won that Super Bowl against Carolina Panthers. Brady's got to be really, really careful, because when it goes, it can go in a hurry and it can get really, really ugly. And if the ego says, I want to get paid and I'll go to L.A., and I'll go to L.A. Yeah. I mean, Johnny Unitas ended his career in a Charger uniform, I believe, right? We've seen O.J. Simpson in a Niner uniform. Like, these things don't. Emmett Smith, an Arizona Cardinal. Joe Montana did it. He went. They won playoff game with the Chiefs. Like, he wasn't. It wasn't terrible with the Chiefs. But this whole idea of continue to play, like, it doesn't get better. It tends to get worse, no matter how. He does have the Benjamin Button thing where he keeps getting better looking. But your play isn't better. He's not getting better as a player. 42 is old, 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 old by anyone's NFL standard. And, you know, you can keep telling us that, I don't know, it's still the same plan. Put your house in the market for a reason. Your contract's up for a reason. The team's offense has fallen apart for a reason. Like, all of these things seem to be working the fashion of, you know what, dude? If you don't do it, if you don't win it, if you can't get back to a 10th Super Bowl and win that 7th championship to somehow put you ahead in some people's minds of Michael Jordan, I wouldn't keep chasing it. I wouldn't keep chasing it. I understand that it's the last time in life in which, you know, 45 other guys on a Sunday are going to be dependent on you, and 75,000 people are going to be cheering for you. I get it. It's a rush, and he's earned the right to try and walk away whenever he wants to walk away. He legitimately has earned that right. I don't believe most guys have, but there's an expression in boxing, which is, and I may butcher it, if you're a boxing guy, feel free, you can tweet at me, at Gottlieb Show, which is basically like, no fighter walks out of his last fight. Right? They all get carried out. It's like Floyd Mayweather, I'm never going to box again, never going to fight again, now he's going to do some, like, you don't get, nobody walks out of that last fight. Muhammad Ali didn't walk out of his last fight. They just don't. They keep going back and keep going back, and ultimately, you end up getting carried out. And that's the last thing you want to have happen to a Tom Brady. I thought he should have had somebody pull him aside at the last end of last year's Super Bowl and go like, hey, dude, this is it. You cannot get, it wouldn't have been like Peyton Manning. Like, Peyton Manning retired, but it felt like he had to. Tom Brady could have said, I'm retiring because I want to. I want a Super Bowl and I want to. Now we're getting to the category of you might have to.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's welcome him in. He's an NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. He's Chris Haynes. He joins us now in The Herd, fresh off of... They usually call it... What do you got? There's no presence in there. There's no presence in there. It's quite the walk up. See, too many NBA games. He had this like slow walk up where he's expecting people to take pictures of the suit. What is your, give me your biggest takeaway of last night's Battle of LA?
Well, I think the Clippers are legit. They're real. I think, you know, like I said, they are who we thought they were. And their record is not going to be reflective on how really good they are, because, you know, they're going to have these load management games all throughout the season. But, you know, this is why they built this team this way, just to have so much length and versatility to be able to combat the powers of the Lakers, which is AD and LeBron James. And so I'm not going to overreact, you know, off of one game, Christmas Day game, even though they are up 2-0 in the season series. But I just think it shows that, man, this team is legit. When healthy, I just expect the winner of the Western Conference standings, barring injuries, I expected to come out of L.A.
I watched last night's game, and I thought a couple things. We'll get to LeBron in a second. I do think the Lakers are missing something. And everybody believes they'll likely to add Andre Iguodala. The reasoning there is Rob Pelinka was his agent, right? And they need one more guy. I think they need a guard and a combo guard. Like, Darren Collison was supposed to be a Laker. He decides to retire. And so now you're working with Rondo and Caruso. They have an infatuation with Rondo I don't understand. You know, he hasn't been a good player in the league in 5 years. He hasn't been a great asset for a championship team in like 10 years. Like,
that's debatable, Doug. I mean, he's been really good the last couple of years.
When?
Rondo? He's been really Rondo has been putting up numbers the last couple of years.
When was he good though? They were better in New Orleans when he was he was decent in New Orleans. Okay, uh-huh. he got run out of Dallas, right?
Dallas. Then he had the resurgence in New Orleans.
In New Orleans, right?
And he's been solid.
He was okay with the Bulls, and then he was really good in the playoffs for the first two games against the Celtics, and then he got hurt and they collapsed.
How
many years ago was that?
Well, I get you, but I would agree that maybe his skill set doesn't blend well with LeBron James, because typically when LeBron James team, he needs a stretch point guard.
It's not just that though. Like, look, if he can't shoot, and like his numbers actually tell you he can shoot, but nobody in the NBA thinks he can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be Patrick Beverley at the defensive end, and he's not.
I give you that.
Right. The whole thing with Rondo is he's an unbelievable defender. He has statistically every metric tells you he's actually hasn't been a great, maybe even a good defender in a long time. He lives on reputation there. And then he's not a good finisher in the lane. So it's like, all right, if you're not going to bring much on offense, just stand outside and shoot. You got to give me something on defense. And he's not that tenacious junkyard dog that he used to be.
Well, to your point about them needing to bring in another addition, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. The fact that I think they need a more of a 3D player. I just don't think there's anybody outside of Danny Green really on that roster who's going to hit that jumper consistently and stretch the defense. Kyle Kuzma can do it from spurts, but you know, somebody like J.R. Smith is out there. I know he's probably a red flag for a lot of GMs out there, but you know, LeBron James has familiarity with him in Cleveland, knows how to, you know, handle him, get the best out of him. Somebody like that makes a lot of sense.
I understand. I agree with you in terms of shooting, but there's also a lack of shot creation, right? Like LeBron is not the same guy athletically. None of us would be if we played that many years in the NBA. Right? Is that like, look, we've seen him in these games.
Yeah,
the Milwaukee game and this game. You could say groin, and I'll be like, all right. But, you know, when you're 34, your groin does flare up more often.
That groin is important. You know, you want it does damper what you're able to do.
What's your assessment of LeBron? We've seen him in two big games against high-level competition in this last week.
Well, look, I have to take him by his word that he's not 100%. And I look at last night's game, and he clearly wasn't imposing his will physically on the opponent. You know, there wasn't a lot of drives. There wasn't a lot of tacking. There wasn't a lot of pounding. And that's what LeBron James does. And, you know, Doug, up to this week, you know, there's been talks about him being, you know, in the MVP race.
Right.
And so his play has been there, except for the last, you know, four or five games.
Chris Haynes joining us. Let's go to the call, okay? It was kind of a weird possession where, again, Rondo's in the game, where you're like, why is he in the game? But LeBron has the basketball, late, couple seconds left, goes up to shoot, and Rondo hits the ball out of his hands. And it appears you're going to have a timeout. It's going to be Laker ball, and we're going to find out, you know, if the Lakers bench can draw something up for a three-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
They go to replay, and on further review, the ball did go off of LeBron. Is this the right call?
Well, I mean, it is the right call. I mean, it went off of LeBron's hands, and so ball goes to Los Angeles Clippers. I think what people have a problem with is just the slowing down of the game. Obviously, this is a call. If you're looking at it just with your dead eye, you're going to say Patrick Beverley tipped the ball out. You know,
it's going to ruin pickup. I said this in the meeting, and that we didn't have some of our guys that play a lot of pickup basketball. It's going to ruin pickup basketball forever, and here's why. Okay, and pick up basketball, whichever direction the ball goes, automatically determines who we think the ball went off
of. Yeah, that's
right?
True. That's true.
Right? Like if you're, it can't go that way. I didn't hit it that way.
Yeah.
Right? Patrick Beverley hit the basketball in that direction. It went out. It has to be off Patrick Beverley. But now that we've seen on the replay that it actually went off of LeBron.
Yeah. And look, I go back and forth with the replay. Obviously, you want to get the right call on the court, but.
Are we going to get the right call every call? No, you're not.
And even a replay, you're not going to get the right call every time. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, the refs can't find, you know, they can't really truly get it right. And so they'll leave the call the same. You know, they'll leave it as is. And, you know, it's one of those plays where it's like, damn, you want to see, you know, no matter who you're rooting for, you want to see if LeBron or Lakers, if they can get, you know, see what they can do with those 3 seconds left. And, you know, they get the chance to do that.
Is LeBron James still a top five player in the NBA?
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind.
You would take him ahead of Kawhi today. You would take him
you
ahead
mean
of...
like physically right now?
Yes.
Well, since LeBron...
Well, it's like the whole thing.
Okay, hold on. Since LeBron James is banged up right now, yes, I'll take Kawhi.
Come on. Come
you say you say it today.
All right. So you would take him for the year. You would take him ahead of Kawhi Leonard. Right now. Not for the entirety of his career. This is what we're doing. We conflate, do you like LeBron James? Do you love what he's been and what he is right now? It's like Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He's 42 years old. But he's still the most successful quarterback in the history of the sport.
This might be the last year I say this, but I will still take LeBron this season.
Kawhi Leonard?
I will take LeBron this season over anybody.
Were you
right
in person
now,
or did you watch it on TV last night?
I was there in person.
How many fingers am I holding up?
You hold them two. You got two fingers up.
Okay.
I realize the dominance of Kawhi Leonard. I know that boy is a bad boy, but I'm saying
he's a robot.
He is a robot.
He's
he can't
a robot.
Be touched. You can't move him. You can't speed his game up. You can't mentally challenge him. He's his own person. But I will say this, you know, I believe like you have to take it from somebody to be the best. I don't feel like anybody's took it.
Durant yet. Didn't take it from him 2 years in a row in the finals? Came down the court in Cleveland, 2 years in a row, the exact same spot, came down and hit a three right in his eye. That's not vanquishing him right in front of his own people?
Kevin Durant even acknowledged himself that he thought more people would jump on the bandwagon and say he took it. And he was disappointed that narrative didn't take over.
I mean, but the reality of it is I felt like it did. And then Kawhi, because Kevin Durant was hurt, he was the guy. He's the guy.
Because
and then
Kevin Durant's hurt, yeah.
And then Giannis felt like he took it from him.
Yeah,
I don't think.
But you're saying hurt. That's what happens. When somebody's hurt, somebody else has to take over.
What do we do with LeBron's fourth quarter foul shooting?
Ooh, there's no defending that. I mean,
it's weird, though, because usually the older you get, those are the things that you do better.
That's true.
Right? Like the athletic things you don't do as well. But your brain... You know, like, look, he wasn't a great three-point shooter. He's got that kind of awkward step back, which last night he didn't hit it, mm-hmm. but he has become a better three-point shooter and a better mid-range shooter, you know, and has a little bit more in his bag, if you will. But the free throw shooting in the fourth quarter, like, he made the first one. The second one was like, oh, my gosh, that might not draw iron.
Doug, I was playing pickup with one of the homies from back when we were teenagers, and he couldn't shoot then. And he still can't shoot now. And right. I'm like, dude, what have you been doing for the last 20-something years? Like, that's your jumper is what gets better.
Right.
You don't athletically,
so
you don't get better.
I agree. So what, like, even I can make jump shots now.
I don't.
So what happened to, what's up with LeBron in the fourth quarter? Lack of volume.
I've covered this guy exclusively, you know, pretty much on a daily, 2 years in a row, then periodically last 4 years. He's changed his free throw stance, I want to say about 5 or 6 times over that time frame.
Yeah.
He's never stuck with one thing and just, you know, developed it.
Yeah.
He's always switched. So I think that is a reason. But, you know, look, if he doesn't get that right, man, that's going to be a problem come playoff time for sure.
Okay. I'm wondering about the Rockets. Like, look, I don't think it's going to work. Obviously, yesterday becomes – confirmation bias. It's only one game. Last year, the Warriors lost to the Lakers in the exact same game.
Mm-hmm.
But you see the volume of shots that Russell Westbrook took and did not make,
mm-hmm.
right? And you just start to say, here we go again with the Rockets. Do people in the NBA think the Rockets are at the same level as the Lakers and the Clippers?
No. Nobody really thinks that. But when you say it's not going to work to what extent?
They're not going to take that next step, right? That's why
championship.
They made, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I get you there. No doubt about that.
Play in the finals. Like, can they, you know, it's like they couldn't beat the Warriors. And I guarantee what Tillman Fertitta said was like, look, we can't beat the – remember when they lost to the Warriors, again, at home, the Warriors didn't have KD.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in with, like, if we can't beat the Warriors now, we're never going to beat them. We had to rethink things. They try and rethink things. They go with Russell Westbrook, who's a more athletic at this stage version of Chris Paul, but doesn't do the other things Chris Paul does.
Yeah.
Is this version of the Rockets at the same level as the Lakers and the Clippers? And you're saying you don't believe they are.
I don't believe so. But what I would say this is that they're dangerous enough where you really can't take them for granted. Because I'll say that the seeding has to play in their favor, playoff seeding, that is. Like, they can't go through LA and the Clippers in the playoffs. You know, seeding has to be in their favor where they meet those, you know, meet one of those teams in the conference finals. But I was, you know, look, when you got Harden, you know, playing like
he, by the he's way, he's a top five player in the NBA.
I give him that. No, definitely. Okay, so he's top five.
Yes.
Hold on.
No, I'm just saying, like,
I know you're trying to get it.
You have Kawhi, but you have Kawhi behind LeBron. You put Harden behind LeBron, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's legit.
I know
he only
plays one end, but he's pretty good at that one end.
Harden's been playing better at the other end now, especially
in the post. Listen, just for full disclosure, I love basketball.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I was in a gym at Hope University with my son and my nephew yesterday hooping, like, then watching all these guys. I love basketball. I think James Harden's great. I cannot stand watching James Harden play, but I will tell you, he's probably the best offensive player in the league.
I will give you that right now. He's revolutionized the game. He makes you, like, there's seldom guys that come into the league and they do moves where you have to look at them like, dang, was that allowed? Like he really...
No, the answer is not. Shouldn't be allowed. The travel shouldn't be allowed.
Well, I'm saying, but there's some of his step backs where I have to replay it in slow mo.
Yeah.
To look like, man, that was legit.
It is kind of ballet. Last thing, look, I know Joel Embiid is not at that level because he doesn't do it consistently, mm-hmm. and because everyone holds their breath thinking he's going to get hurt. But man, is that guy a talent? Like, he might be the most talented cat there is. Like 7 feet, can move, can shoot, can pass, can block shots.
The most talented. Is he in your top five?
No, because he doesn't. We don't see that from him on a consistent enough basis.
Okay, most talented. He's arguably AD.
I mean,
AD's up
there. A 7-footer that can move like that and do all of those things.
I mean, yeah, what Giannis does at 6'11", you know,
but
it's pretty
Giannis
damn
is not
impressive.
I don't think Giannis is as good a shooter.
No, he's not as good a shooter. But I mean, he can do pretty much everything else better than Joel Embiid.
Can't score in the post. Not a true post scorer like Embiid is. He does everything with the ball a little bit better in terms of creating for himself. The Euro step is, but I like Embiid
consistency. Consistency from Embiid.
Yes.
That's what everybody.
If you were a betting man right now, I got 15 seconds. Sixers or Bucks out of the East?
Bucks. I don't need the whole 15 seconds. Bucks.
They usually shoot it very well. They did not shoot it well yesterday, and Sixers
they're
did.
They're on a mission. Christmas Day game, whatever. They're on a mission. Bucks.
Chris Haynes, you check him out and speak for yourself a little bit later. Read his work in Yahoo Sports. Follow him on social media. Does a great job. Incredible rise for you. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry
Happy
Christmas
New
to
Year.
Too,
Thanks for
guy.
Joining us.
Thank you.